But I would love to sing just something. Can you just play something just on the guitar? I would love to. I really feel the Lord wants me to sing. While we were praying before the service, with the team that I came with, the Lord spoke to us as well. He speaks to me directly about the breakthrough as well. It was exactly the same word. And I truly believe that the Lord, it is God's will. The Bible says that it is the Father's will to give to his children the kingdom. And the kingdom speaks about God's influence. It speaks about God's will being done. Scripture says that many are the plans of man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. And my prayer this morning is that the purpose of God, the very purpose of God for this morning, will prevail over your life. Not just your own purposes, not just the purposes of man, but the purpose of God, the perfect will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Heaven's open. Heaven's open. Heaven's open. Heaven's open. You raised the heaven and you came on earth to set us free. To set us free. You opened the heaven and you came so that we may have life, life in abundance. And you ran to heaven, the Holy Spirit. And you came on that day, celebrate your presence. This is your hour. This is your time. Come and do whatever you want. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. This is your hour. This is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is your hour. This is your time. Come and do whatever you want, Father. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hearts are open. Hearts are open. Open to you. Open to you. Our ears are open. Our ears are open. Open to you. Open to you. Let's sing. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. Open to you. Open to. Let's sing that again. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. Open to you. Open to you. Let's sing again. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. Open to you. Open. Our ears open. Our ears are open. Our ears are open. Open to you. Open to you. Hearts are open. Hearts are open. Open to you. Open to you. Lord, our ears are open. Our ears are open.
never fails.
Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never runs out on me. Your love, your love. Never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We honor you, Lord, for this time. And we honor you for what you are busy doing in this place. We thank you, God, that the veils are open. We thank you, God, that you've torn the very veil that have hindered us to see you. We thank you, Lord, that by sharing your blood on the cross, you made a way for us to come into the Holy of Holies, that we may have access to the Father, beholding your glory like in a mirror. And that's the very place where you've established us. We are being conformed into the same image and changed from one glory into the other. Father God, we thank you that this morning we can see your glory, that we can come in boldness with confidence like Moses and say, show us your glory. Father, we thank you, God, that you are far more beyond than the circumstances that we go through, that you are stronger than any mountains in front of us. We thank you, God, that it's only cost us to believe in you, to trust in you, to see the mountain moving. Father God, we thank you for this church, Lord, and we thank you for every lives here. We thank you, God, that you've got a word for every one of us. We thank you, God, that we can just be part of your plan. We thank you, God, that we can hear from you. We thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd and the sheep hears your voice. We thank you, God, that this morning you do not give us a noise but your voice. Father God, thank you for your direction. Thank you for such a word that will, Father God, bear fruit in our hearts and empower us, Lord, to break through. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for trusting me to stand in front of you. And Pastor Yaku, thank you so much for welcoming me. This is, I think, my third time. Thank you for the guitar. Yeah. It's my third time here, I think. First time I came here, it was when ST preached. 2015. Was that last year? Yes. Yeah, that was my first time. And then we came with Pastor Reno, led some worship. And this is, I think, my third time. Yeah, and I'm very excited to share with you the word. My name is Matthew. And I work with students there in Rondebosch. I'm the student pastor for the student guys. And I've been working for the past 2 years full-time at the church. But before that, I was a student as well. And also a musician, doing a lot of gigs here and there. And also leading worship at church. And I'm originally from DRC, coming from a very strong Christian family. My dad is a pastor, so the thing of standing in front of people started since I was small, so I've been always standing in front of people. So I'm kind of at peace with it, because I stood already in front of people when I was 9 years old, and I'm turning 31 this year, so I've been standing for almost 20 years in front of people. So that makes things a little bit easier. But I think just growing up in such a setting where you watch your parents serving, and you know, in DRC back then, it wasn't really easy, because my dad was not full-time in ministry. In fact, when I told him that I really feel the Lord taking me into that kind of direction, he wasn't really too comfortable with that, because in the kind of setting that we grew up with, and the reality of the country, not many churches had enough funds to kind of
take care as well for the minister. So a lot of ministers work as well. They do secular jobs. So he was an accountant for a company, and God blessed him with that kind of job. So he would work every day, and he had extra time. So he canceled most of his extra times, especially when I was in primary school. So he would, what he used to do, he did not have a car back then. Then he would visit every single member of the church, because the church was still small, so it was quite also possible to do it. So he would visit every single member of the church every week. So on different days. So, and he would walk. Whether the person stays like miles distance, he would walk to the person. And sometimes I would see him coming back wet because of the rain. He went to see someone. And I couldn't understand. But now I understand that there was a deposit on his heart that transcended the levels of circumstances and reality. There was an empowerment that took place on his heart that established him into a place of serving, of not seeing the circumstances of life as something to stop him from serving God. But he saw that as an opportunity. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes in one's life, it changes the way you see things. When the Holy Spirit comes, it establishes something that the Bible calls sonship. In fact, the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. When the Holy Spirit came as a dove, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit is the very person that have established you in Christ as sons and daughters. Because we carry His presence. Christ is within us through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is Jesus Christ in us. The Bible says, those who have the Holy Spirit, they belong to Him. This church exists because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit spoke. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't even hear God's voice. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't even have authority over spirit. In fact, the Bible says, when the enemy comes like a flood, he will lift his stand. The French version of that scripture translation actually says that when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit will make him flee. That's the literal translation of the French version of that scripture. That the enemy will actually flee because of the Spirit. And so, just living in that kind of setting, to see him serving many years, and I remember days where I was small, and it was tough to have proper food, because we did not have enough means to have proper food. And yet, I went to church every single day. We had morning services every single day. So that means I was in primary school, probably 9, 8, 10 years old. That meant every morning from 5:30, we had services till 6:30. So from where we stayed, by my dad's house, to the church, it was a long distance. So probably now with my age, if I have to walk there 15 minutes, I would get there if I walk fast. But now I was small, so that meant that I would probably walk for 25 minutes, 30 minutes. So I walked like that every morning. So, and then after the intercession at church, then I will go to school. So that meant I had to wake up early. And so he would come to our room with my brothers. "Hey, stand up." So he would stand up. wake up. We would wake up, we bath. And then if the time that was set for us to go to church arrived, that meant you were going to wear your uniform at church. You're going to change your clothes at church. So I remember my brothers, they had to go and change. And he will make sure if himself couldn't make it because he went to work, he's going to find out from the elders if we were there. So every single day we went like that. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we went to church like that. So when I was 13, 14, I was in high school. I joined the intercession team. We prayed every Monday from 10 o'clock to 4 a.m. straight, nonstop. So that meant every morning I had to be at church from 5:30 to 6:30. That's intercession. 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock, intercession. That was my choice. That wasn't my dad telling me to do it. So I was at intercession. So we prayed from 10 to 4. And then the Tuesday
morning I wouldn't be at intercession because I was at church at night, so I had to go and change and all that. And then in the afternoon, we had a service from 4 to 6:30. And then the Wednesday morning, at church again. Wednesday afternoon, after school, at church again for a church service from 4 to 6:30. Thursday morning, at church again. Thursday afternoon, we didn't have a service. It was a ladies' meeting. Friday morning, at church again from 5:30 to 6:30. Friday afternoon, at church again from 4:30 to 6:30. That was teaching services. And night of Friday night to Saturday night, 10 to 4, intercession again. We would pray like that. And then Saturday afternoon, practice with the band from maybe 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Sunday morning, at church again, worship service. And then after the church service, the youth meeting again. But the funny thing, I never realized that I was busy. I never felt one single day that I was going too much to church. I can't believe it. It's only now that I'm realizing, my goodness, I was busy. But I never felt that I was busy. It was a joy. Church was the only fun thing that we had. Church was the only place of joy. Church was the most satisfying place. I have never felt at any one day the need for me to go to at any other place than to church. My brothers at church were my friends. So I didn't feel the need. I never felt empty, and I never regret those times. But what was the power? What was the key for us to dwell in that kind of place? That's my subject this morning. I'll be speaking to you about the Holy Spirit. But I'll be sharing with you about the Holy Spirit in the context of Paul and Timothy. And the scripture from which I'll be starting with is the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Just want to share with you the context of this scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy while he was in prison in Rome. And some scholars say that he was in house arrest. He wasn't really in the very, very prison where he was about to be executed. In fact, this week I was in Franschhoek with Kornebeke training. And he actually shared about he went actually to that very place with the prison where the Apostle Paul finally was executed. It's a very, very dark place. So there is no way that someone would write a letter from there in Rome. But he said there was probably an house arrest. It was first an house arrest, and then they took him to be executed to a very single cell where he was about executed. He actually had an opportunity to go to the very place in Rome. So bottom line is, whether it was that cell or the other one, doesn't matter. He was in prison. And while he was in prison, he wrote to Timothy this letter. But when you read from verse 1 up to 7, you actually see the Apostle Paul thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's busy doing. And speaking to Timothy, he said, "I can remember the sincere faith in you and the faith that I saw in your mother Eunice." And he encourages him by saying, "Stir up the gift that you received by the laying of hands." The Apostle Paul in that season was really caring about the focus of Timothy in that season, which was a very tough season for every minister, for every apostle. Many apostles were being killed. Christians were persecuted by the Roman Empire. And himself, Paul, was in prison. And in that particular time, Timothy was in Ephesus. So the Apostle Paul wasn't really sure about what was going on in Timothy's life, somebody that he discipled. And it was really a very season of fear to step up and share the word, because that was a reason to be killed. That was almost like a provocation in terms of the leaders and the system that was controlling regions in that time. So now, the Apostle Paul, when you read this letter to Timothy, you actually see that he was so much caring about what was the focus of Timothy in terms of the calling. Because he remembered the faith that was in Timothy. He remembered the faith that he found in his mother. So worried about this disciple, he writes to him a letter of encouragement.
It tells him that you did not receive a spirit of fear. That we did not receive a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind. In other words, in the very specific place where you found yourself in the very specific place where your heart and your mind and your emotions are receiving a ministry from fear, I'm about to encourage you. The Holy Spirit speaking to Paul is saying to Timothy that the deposit in you wasn't a deposit of fear. In fact, if you read in other scriptures, the Apostle Paul says, he speaks about the deposit of the Spirit in Timothy. You know, the Apostle Paul makes an emphasis on something much deeper that was deposited in Timothy that had to do with the real challenge of that time, the giant of that time, which was fear. Fear to share the word. So, bottom line is, the world's persecution, and because of the persecution, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter of encouragement to Timothy. So now, who is the Holy Spirit? You know, in the charismatic church and Pentecostals, most of the time when we say Holy Spirit, for some, they see power. For some, it may mean speaking in tongues. For some, it may mean miracles, or, you know, means God, or it means, like I said, I'm going to be sharing about the Holy Spirit, but in the context of Paul and Timothy, I'm not going to be able to, if I have to share on the Holy Spirit himself is God, there is so much to say about it. But bottom line is, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So we will read the scripture. And remember, in John 14, Pastor Yaku also quoted this chapter while we were worshiping. This chapter was a chapter, in this chapter, Jesus Christ was speaking to the disciples during the time where he was about to be crucified. It was really the time preceding the time of his death. And a lot of them were already panicking. So he started this chapter by saying, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. So that's the very first verse that you find in that scripture. So I jump then straight to 16, where he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. In other words, I am your helper right now, physically. But then, there will be a time when I'm not going to be there. But I will ask my Father to send another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither, next slide, sees him, and knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. He will be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. If Christ says, I will not leave you as orphans, in other words, if I leave you, you're going to be an orphan. If you've got to be alone, you're going to be an orphan. So he says, he will be with you and he will be in you. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. And that was in a season where the disciples weren't sure what was going to happen to them. Now their master was going to be crucified. And he makes a word of encouragement to them. He says, even though physically I'm not going to be there, but the Father will provide another one that will minister to you exactly as I do. The same very work that I'm doing to you will be done now in you spiritually. So the Holy Spirit is actually the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the church in his spiritual form. It's a ministry of Jesus Christ now on a spiritual level. In that particular time, they were ministered by Jesus physically, his physical presence. It is the spiritual presence of Jesus Christ within the church. It is the spiritual presence of the Father within the church. That's what the scripture says, whoever does not have the Holy Spirit does not belong to God. So the Holy Spirit primarily is God. He's a person. He's not a power. In fact, when you read Acts 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So Holy Spirit comes first, then there is an empowerment. Just wanted to establish first that the Holy Spirit is a person and is God. But in this context, the Apostle Paul describes the Holy Spirit as a spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. Next slide. The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy says, speaking about the deposit, he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the deposit entrusted to you. He encourages Timothy in terms of the deposit of the Holy Spirit, the good deposit that he had to keep. And the deposit was made via the Holy Spirit. Next slide. So I'll be sharing about love. When he says, you know, the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So I reversed, actually, I'm going to start by love. What is love? Thinking of love today, some of us may define love based on Hollywood movie. You know, Hollywood as well ministers to the world what love is. You know, or, you know, our culture sometimes define the way we think of love. You know, or our city, our nation. If you look at the way people date in Cape Town and the way people date in Harare, it is not the same. They all say, talk in terms of love. If you go to France and you go to Franschhoek, the way people date, it's not the same. It is not the same. People date in Afrikaans there. Maybe some French are there also. I was at the Franschhoek day. It was quite cool. I love that place. It's really cool. Shock. I love that place. Yeah. So, what is love? So, in this context, dealing with the issue of fear, the scripture says in that by this, it is in 1 John, by this is love perfected within us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. That scripture, if you read, it speaks about, you know, the fear you experience when you hear the word judgment. A lot of times when they say the last day, sometimes it sounds like a scary day because of whatever pops up in our heads based on how we perceive God as a judge. So in this scripture, there is a confidence that is established in our hearts through love that gives us a joy when we hear the word judgment, the word on the last day, because we know the character of God, because we know Him. The thing is this, if I don't have a relationship with Antonio, and maybe we're just friends, but I don't trust him, I don't know him, he doesn't know me, even though I may say that I love him because he's my brother in Christ, because I don't know him, there is almost like a lot of barriers between me and him. There is a lot of walls that I need to jump to get to him. So there is a little bit of fear if I have to ask him certain things that I would ask to someone that I really trust, that he won't be offended with this request. He won't reject me. I'm not going to fear rejection. I'm not going to fear failing him in whatever I would ask him. If there isn't any trust that has been established between me and Antonio, there won't be any freedom in terms of the giving and the receiving, because there is already a problem. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. You know, it's like Jonathan and David. When they made a covenant, there was an exchange that took place. Bible says that Jonathan was a son of Saul. He was a prince in the kingdom. And David came from the bush, son of Jesse. And in that particular moment, Jonathan gave him his robe. He gave him his belt. He gave him his sword. Very significant thing. And in that particular time, the prince would wear exactly as the king. It was exactly the same coat. In other words, it was a massive exchange. He was almost like giving up the kingdom to someone who did not have the right to have. That's why Saul was in trouble with him. But in that particular time, the Bible says they loved one another as one soul. That love became the secure place where Jonathan was secure enough to give him. Because he trusted that this guy will never raise this sword to attack me. You know, Jesus said that I'm able to give my life and take it back. Why? Because he was secured in the Father's love. If I do not have a relationship with Antonio, if I don't trust him, the exchange will not happen. And in that particular description of the relationship between David and Jonathan, the Bible calls it the covenant. So covenant is such a healthy platform because, you know, we did this series of covenant. You actually see that when there is a covenant established, there is a freedom to give. There is a freedom to be yourself. There is a freedom to just manifest who you are. Because you're not going to be rejected. The next person will be there for you. The next person will learn to be a redemptive agent always on your side. Because there is something much more powerful than just doing the good toward the person. There is something that have established your relationship. It's called covenant. And that's the kind of love we have in God. And the love that have been imparted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it's something that is established from a place of our relationship with the Father. Because we know Him. We know His character. We know He's got a plan. We know that He's not against us, but He is for us. Because of that, then we can have the freedom to trust Him. The Apostle Paul, when you read in these scriptures, in fact, you'll see in chapter 2, he says, I've fought a good fight of faith. I've kept the faith. He was almost on the very last days of his ministry. When you read the book of Acts, he encountered Jesus. He encountered the light of Jesus. Such an encounter, such a powerful calling in his life. Let's look at the Apostle, just before I got into the Apostle Paul. When you look at the way he encountered the Lord, his life was on a different level spiritually. And yet this man, on the very last days of his ministry, he was in prison. But when you read his letter, you don't see fear. You see a man so secured in his destiny. He speaks about his reward. Even after death, there was a massive hope imparted in his heart. Why? Because the scripture says, even himself, it was actually himself writing the book of Romans, says, the Holy Spirit have deposited in us his love. Let's look at power. This is Acts 1 verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Now, this is the very last times as well, before Christ was about to go up to heaven. And he said to them, they asked him actually by the disciples, when are you going to reestablish your kingdom? He says to them, it doesn't belong to you to know when is the kingdom going to be established by the Father. Then he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In fact, if you study in the Greek word for power, there's actually two words that alternate. You find the one which speaks about a delegated power or delegated authority, and you also find the other one which is the dynamis power, which has to do with the supernatural power of God, which produces the miracle. You actually many times Jesus Christ would heal the sick, the Bible says, through the power of God. And most of the time you'll see that in the translation, the Greek translation, it speaks about the dynamis power. But then if you look at a lot of times that Jesus casted out demons, if you study in the Greek, you actually see that it was more from a place of this authority power. A typical example of an authority power, it's like let's say the police. Or maybe, how do you call these police that arrest you in the car when you're driving? How do you call them, yeah? traffic department. Great. Yeah. In French, they call them roulage. These guys, when they stand in front of a big truck, these guys stop. I mean, the truck stops not because the traffic guy is so powerful to break this truck. No. The driver recognizes an authority behind this man, that this man had been delegated legally to stop me. Therefore, I will stop. And if I don't respect this authority, I will find myself in jail. So what makes this man in authority is the fact that he's under authority. He's been delegated. So now, you also find the supernatural power of God. For example, you see the woman that was bleeding. She came to Christ. She touched on his garment. She got healed. That was a supernatural intervention of God. Something so miraculous. But then, what does it mean to us in this context? The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, if we have to consider the two aspects of the definition of the word power, in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to him that the deposit of the Holy Spirit in you has the power. Remember, he's the helper, just like Jesus. He has the power to control even the natural challenges that you are facing. This Holy Spirit has the power to have an influence on a natural level. He has the power to destroy even the oppressor. He controls everything. It is the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit is able to deal even with your natural challenges that you are facing, your fears and everything. In fact, in scriptures, you'll see Daniel, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were facing natural challenges, fire, lions. Even right there on a very natural level, God was still able to deliver them. That's the kind of power the Holy Spirit has. And at the same time, you've been delegated by God. Timothy was a young man and he was about to step in ministry. The Apostle Paul, in other words, saying to him that you've received power, the power that you have in you has to do with a delegation that God has done already in your life. So you won't be in authority because you've strengthened yourself only. But you will be in authority because you've been delegated by God. Therefore, you do not have to fear. Because there is the backing of the commander. You know, when you read the story of Ezekiel, the vision that he saw of the dry bones, he said, I prophesied over the dry bones as I was commanded. When God said to him, prophesy over this dry bone, everything he said was happening because he was under the command of God. What established us in authority in the spiritual realm is the fact that we are sitting under the command of God. The only way we can be in command as a church community in this particular area is the fact that we are having the backing of the commander. So that whenever we speak things happen because we have the backing of the commander. He is the one who said to us, go, go, go and be here. Because God is the God of this community, everything that we do have his backing. Therefore, we don't have any single reason to fear. Fear reveals that we trust in ourselves. Fear reveals that we ignore him. Fear reveals that we've disconnected ourselves from the commander. But if we know our authority, no matter how, just like that traffic guy, no matter how big the truck looks like, he will stand up and stop. Sometimes I usually see when I drop my nephews at school, I see little kids sometimes, you know, standing with this stop signs and stopping cars. And those cars stops because even in that little moment, that little kid has been assigned to stop the car. And the driver recognized. So we must know that the enemy is not intimidated because we do long prayers. No. The only thing that intimidates the enemy, that removes the spirit, that gives us the ability to cast out spirit, is the fact that we have been commissioned by God. We have the authority. As a church community in this area, in San Luis City, the only way we can have authority is when we remain under authority, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Even on a personal level, the only way you can face the challenges of your life is by allow positioning yourself behind the commander. The next one is self-control. This is one of the toughest ones. Practical level, especially with young students. This is a big deal. Self-control is massive. You know, if you look at society, the way people behave and the way, in fact, you have to see when people are driving, you can see that there is a serious problem of self-control. The words that comes out. You know, the other day I was in a taxi, and by mistake I pushed the guy that, you know, collects the money in the taxi, and he just assumed as if I did it on my own. The guy wanted to fight me. I was like, my goodness, self-control. I just said sorry to him. But in that moment, the guy didn't have the strength and the ability to deal with that kind of pressure. Why? Because no self-control. There isn't anything in his mind, on his heart, that gives him the ability to be still. So, Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You cannot create self-control in your heart. You cannot manufacture self-control. You cannot fake self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. They can't be fruit unless there is a seed that have been planted. You know, God uses languages that we have to understand better, that we understand well. I wish I was a farmer. I think farmers, most Afrikaans people, I'm sure they understand well about fruit. And because most Afrikaans people are into farming, I'm sure you understand very well. I think people can understand well the parables of Jesus, Afrikaans people, because a lot of parables of Jesus had to do with soils and and all of these things. Yeah, so the Apostle Paul, listing these things, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he mentioned self-control. And you see that in the life of Jesus, while going through the storm in the boat, all the disciples panicking. Why? Because they knew that, you know, in their mind, they told themselves they don't have any authority over these storms. The thing is, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you will live in fear. One single person can just tell you one single word, and that will make you suffer for a year. Because you have no authority. You don't even know who you are. You know, the Apostle Paul encourages the church. He says, I pray that you may know what is the power that has been entrusted to us. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. The most dangerous Christians are the Christians who don't know who they are. And I've noticed just growing up in church, the most troublemaking people, even in church communities, are people who don't know who they are. They will compete. If you don't know who you are, you're going to compete. You will seek for affirmations of man because you don't know who you are. Jesus was pleased already by the Father before he performed any ministry. You know, and that establishes a sense of confidence and boldness. A lot of times, even people compete in work environments because they don't know who they are. They want to establish their identity on their performances. So we cannot create this. We cannot fake this. We can only receive it by the Holy Spirit. The reason why some people struggle with lust, some people struggle with masturbation and pornography and obsessions and all of this, the one single reason is the Holy Spirit is not there. Simple as that. Sometimes he's there, but we are obedient. We quench his fire. We quench his voice. But the one of the most reasons why people struggle with being obsessed to things how can I say this? The reason why we become so idolizing things, small things, is the fact that God is not there. God is not there. Now a little things become a God that controls us. You get people that are addicted to certain movies, addicted to certain places, addicted to certain food, because they haven't found a security. Christ, while this storm was going through, he was resting, he was sleeping. And when he woke up, he didn't panic. He said, peace. Because that's the environment in which he lived. That's the realm in which he lived, a realm of peace. A lot of times we have the fear of future. There is a fear of rejection. Sometimes even in terms of building relationship, because the Holy Spirit is not there. There is no way you're going to have self-control in a relationship even with man if the Holy Spirit is not there. Even your relationship with God. The only reason why we panic is because now we've lost control. There is something else controlling. You know, it's, most of the time these things happen, you will hear maybe a gun, pow, shout, maybe someone using a gun, especially in the night, automatically panic. Because now you don't know what's going to be next. I remember when there was a war in DRC, and guns were shooting here and there. You know, everyone was panicking. Because why? You've lost control. No covering. When we do not have a spiritual covering, we're going to live in fear. You're going to be intimidated, and the liar will come and intimidate your life. The only place, the only way for us to live a victorious life as believers is by allowing the Holy Spirit to take place in our life. If you look at society today in South Africa, many killings are happening. Last week I saw on Facebook, someone posted there was an Afrikaans guy that was killed in Joburg, 23 years old, by 12 guys. When you read the news like that, if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you start fearing. 12 guys beat the guy just because he's Afrikaans. I was like, my goodness. But you hear these things. Close to my place, one guy, he was just getting into his gate. I stayed in Plumstead. Suddenly, random guys appeared, took his stuff. He had more than 2,000 rand, took his money. He has enough reason to live now in fear. But if the Holy Spirit is there, there is an insurance and a boldness that God comes and establishes on your heart, in your heart, that gives you a sense of self-control, a sense of trust that God is my covering. Like God to say to Jerusalem that you will not need walls anymore, but I will be to you a wall of fire. So the only reason why we are even afraid of this country currently, because we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts. Let's look at Paul. If you read the book of 2 Timothy, you'll see in many occasions, that 1 Timothy 1 verse 14, 2 Timothy, it was a mistake. But in 2 Timothy, you'll see that there were some of the guys that hurt him, that he was disappointed by many guys. So he was hurt and forsaken. But some believers, you know, he encourages Timothy to keep his deposit. You know, he was commissioned as the apostle to the nations. He was a faithful servant. When you read about him saying, I've fought the good fight. He had hope for the future, for his destiny. And at the same time, he was in prison. Look at this guy that walked the journey with God. God spoke to him. God used him mightily. People got saved. People got healed in his ministry. But now he found himself in the very last days of his ministry in pain. Having the Holy Spirit is not a guarantee to live a happy life. It's not a guarantee. There are people, like a preacher once in DRC said, some people will go to heaven even not being able to buy a bicycle. And yet they will have the joy of their salvation. You know, the Holy Spirit hasn't been deposited in us so that we may have billions or, you know, all of these big cars. The Holy Spirit wasn't deposited in us for a purpose of us being happy. Primarily our relationship with God. Whether we go through the fire, whether we go through persecutions like people are going through in the Middle East. But they still have a joy. The joy of the Lord. That's why people like Stephen, he was being stoned in that moment and he would see the glory of the Lord. Because he was able to tap into a dimension that he couldn't just tap on his own. The Holy Spirit comes and establishes that. A sense of boldness, a sense of freedom. You found all of these things in his life, and yet he was in prison. Man, who wants to do it? Prosperity preaching today will never tell you, will never tell you that you can go in prison because of the gospel. Prosperity gospel tells us that you will be the most influential person in the city. So that's not our focus. The thing is, the Holy Spirit, when he comes to us in our lives, he comes and establishes something that is beyond these realms, beyond the satisfaction of our flesh. He comes and establishes something that is more of another dimension, the love of God. That which the world cannot do. And Timothy, let's look at Timothy. Timothy was a young minister, and he was really in a step of stepping into ministry. You know, Paul speaks about people that have already walked a journey with God, and they are almost at the end of, you know, they're actually going through the last seasons of whatever they've been assigned to, and having the joy of the Lord because of having the Holy Spirit. But Timothy speaks of people that are about to go where the Lord is calling them. Maybe you might find yourself in that season where there are certain things that God have assigned you for. But where you're going, you're not too sure whether you'll be able to control the circumstances. So the only way you will be able to run there is by allowing the voice of the Holy Spirit to minister to you, greater than Paul, saying to you that the deposit in you, the spirit in you, is not a spirit of fear, but of power, but of love and sound mind. If Timothy does not receive encouragement, he's going to be depressed. He's going to burn out, and he's going to leave ministry. So, the thing is, if we are Timothys this morning, how much have we opened the doors of our hearts and allowed the voice of the Holy Spirit and allowed the voice of the Good Shepherd to speak to us? And I believe this morning, the Lord really wants us to come into that particular place where he can be better and greater than Paul and remind us of the deposit that has been given to us as believers. Maybe you are just about to start whatever you really feel now. I'm really stepping into what God is calling me. Maybe you haven't even started. You're just in a preparing kind of phase. The key is, there will be no way that you can stand still if the Holy Spirit is not in you. Everything that Jesus did was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. The whole life of Jesus was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prophesied about his coming. The Holy Spirit was involved in his birth. Mary said, how am I going to conceive when the power will come upon you? He was involved in his birth. When Jesus Christ was born, and when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit was there, came as a dove. When Jesus was ministering, the Bible says he was ministering through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when he died, the Bible says he released his spirit. When he resurrected, the Bible says, if the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you, he shall revive your body. When Jesus Christ resurrected, he was resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when he ascended by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he arrived in heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit on earth. The whole life of Jesus Christ was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of life that we are called to. He came to set that kind of standard. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. I love the scripture in Isaiah 40 verse 1. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says God. Says your God. Jesus said, when the comforter will come, you know, that speaks of his power to encourage us to come and establish that boldness, as he said to Gideon, that be strong, be brave. You know, there is an encouragement you can receive from me as a human being. But then there is also an encouragement that you can receive from the Holy Spirit. If you can only receive encouragement from man, you're in trouble. Because they can change the speech on the next day. But the Holy Spirit will never change his speech. And he ministers in our hearts. Even when everyone would reject us, we can still be free. So, quickly, let's go to the very last point. What must we do? What must we do? I love this scripture. It says, blessed be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There is no way that we can become tools and key of comfort to the city or to Century City as an area if we haven't received that comfort of the Holy Spirit. A man can only give that which he received. There is no way that in my music I will be able to release that kind of encouragement over people if I haven't received it from the Father. Jesus affirmed every lives around because he was affirmed by the Father. One of the reasons why we fear sometimes to give, even material things, because we are not secured in our future. And our future is Jesus, as we sang. Our answer is Jesus. And that kind of revelation can only happen through the Holy Spirit. Would you please stand with me? We're going to pray. I truly want to trust that this morning we'll bring our hearts before Him. We will come into that presence and say, Holy Spirit, your word says that you are the comforter. Would you come in and do this work in my heart? I am broken. I am disappointed. I live in fear. This country is going in trouble. People are being killed. Farmers are being killed. Township is in trouble. People, things are getting chaotic. Wars here and there. How would I survive without you? There is no way I can. And I need you. I need you. One of the things that I noticed amongst believers is that the Holy Spirit is one of the most ignored person in the divinity. Many Christians ignore the Holy Spirit. They just ignore Him. We choose to ignore Him. And yet, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the last prayer he made to this church that was struggling with carnality, says, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. That fellowship speaks of friendship, communion, sharing together. Just wanted to think of how is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? How is your relationship? Where are you with the Holy Spirit? Where are we with the Holy Spirit? And how much have we positioned ourselves to really speak encouragement over people? But there is no way we can do it without the Holy Spirit. Just want to make the first call. If you are here, you're not too sure if you have received the Holy Spirit. You're not too sure if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I would like you to put your hand up and we're going to pray for you. And the second call is, if you are here, you are struggling with fear. I don't know what kind of fear. And you really want to come to God and say, Lord, come and set me free from the fears around me. I would like to encourage you as well to put your hand up for that. And thirdly, if you've been hurt, or whether you've been offended or rejected, you feel a little bit of, you've been offended in a certain way, and you really need the comfort, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and do the comforting in your heart. I would love to encourage you as well to put your hand up so that God will come and minister into your heart. The thing is, the Bible says, let those who are thirsty come to the waters. If you do not avail your heart, if you don't come as thirsty, there is no way that thirst will be quenched. And I truly believe the Lord this morning wants to minister to us. So if you find yourself in any of these three things that I mentioned, don't be shy, just put your hand up. And we're gonna be praying to you for you. We're not going to ask you to come forward, but we will just pray for you right there where you are standing.
Oh,
Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I ask, long to be overcome by your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I was long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more. Thou will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted and seen all the sweetness of love, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are with God. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are not. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence set me free. Hallelujah. Oh, your presence changes everything. Your presence restore our intimacy with you.
Last night while I was praying, one of the things that I felt is that I really feel the Lord run and restore in some of us our intimacy with Him. You know, intimacy, it's something that has got to do with your availability to make time for Him. And I really feel the Lord wants to do come and restore that in our hearts, where we don't have anymore a religious relationship with Him, but a real relationship with Him. There is no way you can be intimate with someone that you are not aware of. I really feel the Lord wants to restore that intimacy, to come into that place of worship. And some of us need to allow Him to come to comfort and comfort and comfort your spirit and your heart. Just want us to turn to one another. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray so that the Holy Spirit may come and minister that which Him alone can do. Just wanted to turn to the one standing next to you and pray for him. and trust that the work of the Holy Spirit will really take place into the lives of the person standing next to you. But if you feel the need for prayer, you're welcome to come in front. We can pray for you as well.